Good day and welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're being joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Doc Blevins, good to have you back on the program.
Glad to be back.
Well, every time you come by each month, we like to get an update on the jail progress. How's that going right now?
Doing very well. About 8 days because of the weather behind it, but hopefully they'll be able to catch up and get some good weather. They've got about 40 masons there trying to put the walls up, and or actually got some of the walls up, and poured. Most of the foundation's been poured, except I think on Section D, which is the front of the building.
Well, I've been amazed, I think, every time I go by there, and this is also taking into account some of the weather we've had here recently between the cold and the rain and some of the snow that we had also, just at the progress that they have been able to make.
Yeah, they're working year-round because it doesn't matter about the weather. They just put up some tents and try to put some heaters in there, and they can continue to work. You've got to have proper temperatures, but they're able to do that. They've got a good group of workers, and our construction manager seems to be doing a good job.
When do you expect them perhaps to have everything kind of under roof?
I'm hoping the next 6 months we'll have everything under roof, I hope. And then, of course, you've got to finish all that out, but I'm hoping that we'll have the majority of it by the next 6 months. It'll take time to get in and actually finish the building, but it'll have maybe not the roof, but at least the concrete foundation on top of it. But the roof itself that'll be down the road.
I know occasionally you've had to deal with change orders from the state. How's that
Luckily,
going?
We had no change orders this time. We're all excited. I think I actually applauded. So.
How often do they come by to inspect?
You mean it would inspect?
Well, to take a look to see if a change order is required.
Well, they're there every day, and they're looking at it. And, of course, if they run into a problem, they've got to work on try to find an agreement between the contractors and the engineer or the architect. And if they can't work out the agreement and they have to spend more money, they bring it to us for approval.
Now, of course, you've talked about your construction manager, Trace Creek, and the job that they've done.
They've done a terrific job. They're doing KCTCS building, and I think it's going well. And also they're doing a local church that I attend, Better Life, which is really taking shape out there, and everything seems to be going good. They've done a real good job, and I think we made the right decision having them as our construction manager.
Are all the deals in place, basically, with the counties that will be sending prisoners to the detention center once it opens?
We do those every year. There's a contract that we sign to take their prisoners, that type of thing, and as far as I can tell, the people will want to bring here. There's crowding everywhere. You're looking at the state looking at opening up some of these private prisons and using them again, and that's because we don't have the jail space right now, and so there's definitely I think we won't have any trouble filling this place up, and that's sad to say. I shouldn't be happy about it, but I think we'll be able to keep this thing pretty well full.
You mentioned that the state's plans to reopen some of these private facilities. Will that impact your new detention center in any way?
According to what the growth pattern is and the number of people being incarcerated, it doesn't look like it's going to have a major effect or any effect.
And you and I talked about that. A lot of this is due to the drug epidemic that we're dealing with here in this state and surrounding states, and that's why we have this issue right now.
Yes, it is. And, of course, I'm on the health department board as well, and we've been working on that reduction in harm or the needle exchange program, and we're it was approved by the city, approved by the county physical court, myself, and now the health department, our group, we're working on trying to put the logistics together and try to figure out where the best place for this is, what times of day it'll be run, and what kind of needle exchange program we're going to have.
Has this now been approved by both the city and the county?
Been approved by both, and right now the local health board has a subcommittee, and they're working. We have a subcommittee working on trying to look at other needle exchange programs and trying to figure out what's the best and what's the worst, and try to come up with the best plan we can for Round County.
How soon do you think you might be able to get this thing up and running?
I'm hoping in the next 2 or 3 months we'll have something opened.
Okay. And again, the reason for doing this is it's a public protection of health issue.
Yes, it is, because if people share needles, and even not just the needles, but actually the little cotton and the little spoons they use to heat up this this drug, if they share any of those things, there's a potential of them getting AIDS, are spreading AIDS from one person to another. And but the, probably the biggest culprit right now is the hepatitis C, which is transferred through mainly needle use. And this would prevent, hopefully, some of those cases. And if we can do that, we'll save a lot of tax dollars and health cost.
I guess the hope is also, too, that these needles will be dropped off at the appropriate
That's
sites
right.
instead
They'll,
of maybe on roadsides and other places like parks.
Our jailer, Wes Coldarn, brought some good testimony to some of our meetings, and he talks about in these cleanups where the prisoners are out here cleaning up some of our parks and along the sides of the road, that type of thing. And they found lots and lots of needles. There's a real problem. And we think that we'll see a reduction in that, and that's going to protect the public.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's really dangerous, you know, for kids who are walking by or riding their bikes or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, just you fall down, you're out there playing, you fall down, next thing you know, you've got HIV or hepatitis or potential for it.
On another note, I know you dealt with an economic development issue. You talked about the tax increment financing proposal. How'd that go?
We passed it, and we're moving forward on it. We still have to, I guess, do an ordinance, but we agreed to an interlocal agreement. There were three of my members that, including myself, that voted for it, and two of them did not vote for it. We can't figure out why they don't, but why they don't agree with this. But it's really, I think, sometimes if you put tax on anything, they're afraid to vote for it. And actually, it's not an increased tax on anybody. It's just that the tax revenues from this new growth, from if we can bring a hotel or whatever else we can bring in this development, it's above what the base tax bill is on the property tax and also on the payroll tax. That is above what the current basis is. So it's really not a tax increase on anybody. It's just using the new jobs and the new tax revenues that come in from this development would be used to pump back into the community as far as trying to build some sidewalks and parks, but maybe even help with a parking garage.
The plan is to eventually set up a tax increment financing district in downtown Morgan, the central business zone?
Yes, and it'll be, we actually agreed to the same agreement that the city did. That's, I'll be on the committee, the mayor will be on the committee, one of the magistrates, one of the city council, the head of economic development, Bob Hilton, will be a member. We'll have a non-voting member, which will be Tony Pence, who's the director of the downtown Moorhead. And that would be filled, but if Tony's not there for some reason, that would still be a member. They would be the chairman of the of this board, and they would be a non-voting member. And also, myself, I'll get to appoint and have approval of the court, and the mayor will appoint an open person that from the city and also one from the county.
How important is it to have a TIF district in downtown Moorhead, in your opinion?
Well, the information I see and what I've been able to gather is that if we didn't do a TIF, we're about on a 10 scale, we're about a 3 of being able to attract somebody to build a hotel downtown. We think we need that with the conference center to bring more conferences and bigger conferences in, because people want to be able to walk and not have to deal with driving. They want to be able to walk around the community, and we think that that's really one of the keys to make our conference center grow. If you have the TIF, it puts us up around a 7 or 8 in potential out of 10 of attracting somebody to come here and build a nice hotel, and also with some shops and restaurants as well.
In talking with Mayor Jim Tom Trent about this issue, he says there are already some developers out there who'd like to possibly put a downtown hotel in Moorhead, who've had their feelers out about this and let it be known that if a TIF district comes to the downtown area, that this would make them a whole lot more interested.
That's information I've got, and we think if we don't move on this, we're missing a golden opportunity, because we think that that's one of the keys to a nice downtown is having a nice hotel facility. If you go up to Pikeville, they used a TIF up there to build. They've got two hotels pretty much in downtown, close to their conference center, close to their expo center up there, and they seem to be doing very well. They've got some really nice facilities there, and we think we can do the same thing. I think Owensboro's used TIF to make their downtown Riverfront, which is downtown Grow. And we think we'll be the smallest one in the state, but we think we have the potential to grow, and we think this is the right step in the right step in that direction.
I know we've talked about a downtown hotel. You and I have, of course. Mayor Trent and I have, and other people we've talked to have mentioned the downtown hotel. But it's about a lot more than just that, correct?
Oh yeah, we'll have to look at maybe some kind of a parking structure. There's never enough parking. I mean, if you certain times of day, you can't find a parking place in Rue Moorhead. So having a parking garage, and that would be something that we can use some of this TIF tax money that will be coming in, that we can help and be a partner in building a parking garage, which would in turn help all the businesses here in this community.
Could this also lead to further business development? Let's say a downtown hotel does come into Moorhead, could this also bring other businesses in as well?
Well, we think if you put a hotel there, you'd want to have a nice restaurant or two, and we think it'll bring potential. Not just if you bring one nice restaurant, they're doing well, you have a good chance of bringing two or three more restaurants in, because people see that as an opportunity for business.
Both the city and the county will likely give the second reading and final passage of this TIF measure, I guess, next month. Is that
well,
right?
Well, we'll probably do our first reading on the actual TIF ordinance. We just passed an interlocal agreement, which didn't take two votes to do that, the way I understand it, at least according to our attorneys. The next meeting, we'll probably have an ordinance to put the TIF in place, and we'll in turn the next reading a month later, and we'll have the TIF. Of course, we have to wait for the state. They're the big money person in this, because they'll give up the increase in sales tax, they'll give up the increase in and all those other taxes that the state has, and that will help us. It has to be up to at least a $20 million project development. So it's, and the state will, if we can show that we're a part of it, then the state will hopefully go with us, and we'll have a TIF moving here forward.
Do you need the approval of the Economic Development Cabinet? Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think it's actually the Department of Local Government.
Okay. And how long do you think that might take after the city and county have, say, the ordinance in place?
We think it'll be this year, early this year. I don't think it'll take that long.
Okay. So you can move forward, perhaps, with a lot of things after
that. We're hoping that we're going to be moving forward before the end of the year.
All right. Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. Again, I'm Chuck Meraz. We've been joined by Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. And Judge Blevins, I saw something here in the Moorhead News the other day that the animal shelter here in the county is being honored.
Yes, it's always nice to be honored. And we didn't actually know anybody had been in there to look at it. I guess they just did this just sent somebody in to kind of look at our facility, and we wound up being ranked very, very high. We're pleased with that. There's a meeting right after, or actually today, I've got to try to attend with the Animal Control Board, and of course I want to thank them for their service and congratulate them on a job well done.
The animal shelter has been around now, for about 4 or 5 years, I guess, hasn't it?
Yeah, roughly. I'd say at least that long. Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems to have made a big difference here in the county.
We think it has. We're not seeing as many stray dogs. Of course, we take dogs not only from Round County, but also from, I think, some from Fleming, but mainly the majority of other dogs come from Carter County. And, of course, we were a tri-county initially, and we're seeing, I think, some good things happen. Of course, Star, I have to give them credit, and also the our cat group, Cat's Meow, I think it's called. And they're both good agencies trying to get homes for these poor animals.
You know, someone mentioned to me that a lot of people don't know much about the animal shelter, but they say if you go by there, it's a pretty impressive facility.
We've got a nice very nice place, and actually, if you look on the across the road, that's another thing we've been able to put in place with the help of the sheriff's office. We have an impoundment lot that can be used by the sheriff mainly. to store, and the county as well, we can probably use it to store certain items we want to store. But that's another positive aspect to the community. And it's right across the street. We're going to try to put some cameras up. We have cameras at the animal shelter, but we're also going to try to put some cameras up at the impoundment lot so we can keep an eye on those things. Right now we're using the our county garage area out there. It's not as secure as per se this will be, and we're very excited about that as another move forward in, for the county.
I know you and I have also from time to time talked about the proposal by Kinder Morgan to run the pipeline project through Rouen County. Any news on that?
Well, we're still hearing from the citizens. We had some two or three of our citizens came and spoke about that, wanting us to move forward on zoning. I'm trying to put together a committee. I kind of dragged my feet because it's I don't know if I can get the votes off my court or not to enter into a zoning or land use type of proposition for the people. But I think with that pipeline, a lot of people would like to see some move forward on that so we can hopefully maybe slow this down or at least maybe make it go away. We think it's a bad thing for our community. It doesn't really bring any large benefit to the general citizenry here. And I'm going to try to have a committee set up hopefully by the end of the month and try to start holding some meetings and just letting people know what we're trying to do, finding out how strongly they are for it or strongly they are against it. We're probably also going to look at a construction housing manager or construction manager here, like an inspector, like the city had, and we're going to explore that with the public too and see how they feel about that.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that a bit, but I wanted to finish up on this Kinder Morgan thing. I know they've had this proposed pipeline. It will run not only through Rouen County, but several counties here in Kentucky. Have they issued any kind of timeline for starting this project, or what's the latest there?
No, they're just trying to get approval from the Federal Regulatory Committee, I think it's called FERC, and they have looked at it. They approved it initially. I think we sent some letters, and other people have, to do a more thorough study of this environmental and also how potentially bad it could be for the general public. And we're hoping they're going to do that, take that up, and maybe slow this process down with the chance that we'll get disapproval of this project. We don't think it's really advantageous for the citizens here in Rouen County, and we're going to continue to push against it.
And for those who don't know, this pipeline project would be moving liquid natural gas through Rouen County, which is very highly volatile, as we've talked about.
It's very, very volatile. Not only is it volatile, but even if it escapes and doesn't catch on fire, the fumes of it that lays low on the ground, the fumes can suffocate lots of people. And I don't know how much it would cost to clean this up. I mean, it would be a major major amount of dollars, and plus it would also create an opportunity for lots of people to be killed by this pipeline.
You know, what's interesting to me is you would think because of the nature of that material and what the federal government knows itself about it, that there wouldn't be some sort of regulation already in place in regards to some sort of a buffer zone around such a pipeline.
Well, it takes about, almost a half mile to a mile buffer zone. So you'd have to move this pipeline quite a ways, and it would cost a lot more money to do it. Of course, companies don't like to spend money if they keep from it. But I think the health and safety of our people and the health of our environment, we need to make sure that this doesn't continue forward unless we see more safety in the pipeline. And hopefully, if they do continue with it, move the pipeline away as far away as they can from the citizenry. It's going to have an effect on people that have property, and that's the other concern. It could drive property prices down, especially along the pipeline.
I know that you had invited Kinder Morgan officials to come to Rouen County because they're saying that this project is safe, to talk to local citizens, maybe at a public forum about this. Where are you with that invitation?
When I talked to them, they're telling me that they don't think this is really going to happen, that they're going through the process, but they really don't think that they'll be pumping anything through the line in the near future. And I guess they're going to wait until there's a potential of it starting before they actually bring it to the public. That happens a lot of times. They'll wait to the last minute when it's already a done process before they actually get the public involved. When we met with them early, they sent some people up here and just met with one of my magistrates and myself, and they tell us that there's safeguards in there, that they will inspect the lines, that there's these technologies that will, if it is exposed, that it would be able to shut it off, and they can do some things. But it's still, this is something new. If you saw the explosion that happened up in Canada with a train load of this stuff, it just destroyed a community. I mean, it's 50 times more powerful than what's in that pipeline now, which is pretty explosive itself. But it's 50 times more dangerous, or 50 times more impact. And again, if it doesn't catch on fire, if it leaks out into the ground, it can suffocate lots of people too. So it's something that I really don't want to see come through our community. The alternative is it's probably going to come through our community and by the truckload, because that's how they haul the stuff now.
Which is also dangerous.
Which is also dangerous too. If you have an accident, they can only haul so much in a truck. This pipeline, if it was to break or have a disruption in it, because we live in an area where we've had some earthquakes, and I don't know how safe that pipeline is if it has an earthquake. What kind of damage it could do. So I'm very concerned about it, and a lot of the people here in the community are very concerned about it. We're going to try to do all we can.
When we talked zoning earlier, you mentioned your proposal to add a construction manager for the county, I guess, that would do code enforcement.
Code enforcement, like the city has. We think that with the potential for growth here in this community, again, we're one of the few communities that is showing potential growth for the next 15, 20 years. And we're looking at going from 23,000 up to maybe 28,000. And anytime you have that kind of growth, you see a lot of people move in here and take advantage of people because everybody wants to build. And you'll bring, when you get that kind of economic growth and that kind of population growth, then you're going to attract some of the people that aren't maybe as going to follow the law the way it should be, and you'll get poor construction and people get taken advantage of. So that's another reason I'm trying to push to look at zoning, and also look at trying to do something on a construction inspector, housing inspector, so that we can protect our people, make sure they get good quality for the money they spend.
When someone says we're going to be adding a construction manager job here in the county, what's it going to cost?
Well, with the figures we hear, it'd be anywhere from probably $60,000, $70,000 up to $100,000. And that includes not only the inspector, but at least some secretary to kind of take care of some of the paperwork and to answer the phone, that type of thing. So probably around $100,000 to do that. Of course, when you have this, you're going to get some fees from the people that are using the inspector, and that would offset some of the amount of money that would cost to run this. It wouldn't be totally on the taxpayers.
Yeah, well, I'll ask you this question. It's kind of the chicken and egg type question. What do you need to do first, pass zoning or hire a construction manager who does the code enforcement?
Well, I think you can do it'd be nice to have both, and then probably will have if we can get this passed by the court. Again, my court's pretty they're not real happy, I don't think, about me trying to even do this. They've been through it before, a couple of them have, and they know that there's a lot of public sentiment out there against this. But I think it's good to educate people what this can do for you. It doesn't affect you until somebody moves an incinerator in next to your house, or somebody brings a poultry house into next to your property, and you have to sit there and smell that all day long. But if you have zoning, you can protect certain parts of the community from that occurring. And I think that's what we want to see, is to protect the citizens. Again, there are some people for it, some people against it. We'll just have to kind of get a reading on the general public, what they feel about it.
We got about a minute left. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Or
Just that I appreciate people coming to the court. That's why we meet. We welcome the public comment. We did also have a project about bringing wireless the final mile to Moorhead here. We're hopefully going to get the middle mile here in the next hopefully few months, but we need to make sure we get wireless or at least high speed broadband to our community. And this company called On3 made a good presentation. They want us to buy into it. They want us to give them exclusive contract to this county. We didn't make a decision on that. We're going to do some more research and look into what can be done, but they bring some interesting ideas to the market, and I think it's something we probably need to look at.
Judge Blevins, as always, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Meraz, host of Front Page. See you next time.